Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome our guests. Certainly nice to have visitors and guests. And I know we're short in number today. I guess the prom has a priority for those who must travel. So Pittsburgh will be crowded. Well, what a week it's been. I tossed a couple different subjects around this week, preparing for a split sermon, and you had two choices. I narrowed it down to two, and I had a hard time deciding which of the two I wanted to speak on. But my heart leaned towards one, and when you hear the subject, you'll know what I'm referring to. Not that I didn't want to do the other, because I think both of them were very important, but I was watching a lot of different events that were happening this week, and one of my favorites, although it was a little disturbing, the fact that I couldn't watch the entire process, and that was the NFL draft. Now everyone's saying, the NFL draft, what's that? That's where college students and football players are drafted to the National Football League. And this year they put it on a Thursday night, and then a Friday night, and now this afternoon. So I got to watch a small portion of it, and I was a little disturbed at the fact that they put it on so late. You know, the workers got to go to work the next day. And they started at 7:30, and the first round was continuing probably till about 10 or 11. Well, those of us who get up at 4:30 in the morning, we don't get to stay up very late. So it was a little disturbing, but that was one of the events that took place this week. Another one was the NBA playoffs. Now, basketball playoffs is heading towards the championship, and of course that's always exciting to me too, to see who's going to be the national champion in basketball. And then of course a lot of other events were taking place, hockey playoffs. Those who follow hockey, that's an exciting time as well. But I just don't want to talk about the NFL draft, and I don't want to just talk about the NBA playoffs or the hockey championship. Did you know that more nations entered the World Cup soccer competition than belonging to the United Nations? That's an interesting statistic. That's a staggering one-third of all humanity watched the Olympics, the World Cup soccer finals, through television. So it's one of the most widely watched events. In the United States, more than 100,000 people routinely show up on January 1st. And know what they're watching? Football. Yeah. Specifically in Pasadena, California, which I'm going to talk about a little bit here, the Rose Bowl. Rose Bowl game. So I find it very interesting that with all this emphasis on sports, what are we learning about sports? Children by the millions, and I literally specify, children by the millions are taught sports events and they're participating in various organized programs. So this affects many of our children. My son participated in sports, and so he was also involved in it. And sports are big. It comes down to that. Sports are big. It's a big portion of our lives. And a lot of us are actively involved in it. Now, with all this watching and playing, did you ever wonder what is the major purpose for sports? Do you ever think about that? Most of the women say no. Well, the men are probably saying, yeah, what is the major purpose for sports? I mean, after all, many people can answer that question with a variety of answers. I'll give you some of the answers. Who hasn't heard the example of, well, it's fun. And I agree, it is fun. That's a good answer. It's entertainment. And that it is. It's a lot of entertainment. It's exercise. And that it is. It's exercise. Physical fitness. Challenging. And that's true too. It is very challenging to play sports. And it's thrill of winning. I heard somebody said one time, the only purpose for sports is for winning. I find that very interesting. It's also contributing to be a team player. It's been spoken of. Now, these are all valid reasons. These are all purposes and answers that are valid and are very good. And yet there remains one purpose even more important than that. Can you think of what it is? Because this purpose has been forgotten in too many cases. Now, we've watched sports over the years, and I've always participated when I could. And now that I'm getting older, I'm slowing down. I'm not participating as much. I'm still participating, but not as much. There's an interesting rising current of bitterness. I find that very interesting. Bitterness opposing to competition. So not only are you playing sports now, but now you're having bitterness toward your opponent. I find that appalling, very appalling. I've watched sports over the years, and sportsmanship has totally changed its perspective. We see teams that when the game's over don't even shake hands, don't even congratulate each other for the all-out effort that the individuals made. Today's emphasis on winning or else, and that's what society has been doing. Competition understands that it's drawing fire from many individuals. Coaches are teaching it's win it all at all costs, even if you have to cheat. I find that interesting. Win it all, even if you have to cheat. Dr. Richard Ball, he's a faculty at the Rutgers University College of Medicine and Dentistry in New Jersey. He summed it all up with one problem: a fierce competitive spirit among grade schools. Listen to this, grade school. Now, we think on the professional level, we think on the college level, even the high school level. But we're talking now competitive fierceness on the grade school level. It's not uncommon for peewees, you know, the little guys, the guys that go out there in the football field and they get knocked down and they can't get up. Peewees are getting a fierce competitive attitude. And this is all coming from the coaching, the attitude of coaching. Little League baseball players, I mean soccer players, you can go right down the list of all the sports, and this attitude of fierce competition is being instructed into our children. Dr. Ball's medical report news said that doctors are finding that more of the younger children are becoming more injured, very young age. They're receiving severe injuries. These driving youngsters are becoming sports superstars when they're little guys, peewees. They're calling them sports superstars. I just heard they wanted to sign a contract for an elementary student so that when he grew up, he would be on the professional level eventually, but that he would sign with a team well in advance before he even went to college. This is a peewee guy, an elementary guy we're talking about. So you can see the driving force behind all this. Fierce competition. The psychology... Doctors are saying the damage and serious physical injuries is causing havoc upon young children. If they don't perform to a high level, they are considered a failure. This is what we're reaping. This is what we're reaping in sports. Dr. Thomas Tuco, professor of psychology in California State University in San Jose, warns, this philosophy of professional sports, win or you're nothing, will permeate through all sports. Kids' athletic programs are doing a tragedy disservice to America. Now, we emphasize America, but this is worldwide. If you follow soccer events, that's amazing too, because that's a big sports event in the world, soccer. The emphasis should be on doing one's best, is what Dr. Tuco said. The champion is glorified. He can do no wrong. And that's the emphasis. I'm the best. I watched this NFL draft, a small portion of it was on Thursday night. And they showed these players being drafted. Now, before the draft, they photographed these guys in various highlight films. And after, of course, they make the tackle or they make the reception and score the touchdown or whatever the situation is in this highlight film, there's always a show-off that has to do a dance or has to do some kind of enactment. And that's his saying, hey, look at me, I'm the great guy. I'm the guy that scored the touchdown. The champion is glorified. He can do no wrong. I just find that amazing. But this isn't the way of life is really is. Now, the key question is, what true values can we learn from sports? Now, you say, well, what if I don't play sports? Well, I want to emphasize four points about sports and how they affect us in life. So even if you don't play sports, and a lot of women don't play sports, there are women's sports activities, which some women participate in, but a lot of women don't participate in sports. So they say, well, what can I learn from sports? Well, I want to teach you four, I think, very important lessons that we can learn. And as I mentioned earlier, what can we learn from sports? Well, here it is. For sports to be a beautiful, and it is, sports is very beautiful. If you've ever played sports, you'll appreciate the beauty of sports. There's the recognition of all concern of the major purpose for sports. So we all need to realize what's the major purpose. That major purpose is to teach, to install true values, and proper attitude. That's the major purpose for sports. Unfortunately, those attitudes are slowly deteriorating from sports programs. Now, if we lose sight of the fact that we open ourselves up to more trouble if we don't go back to the basics, as they say in sports. So what are some of the basic things we can learn? Number one is courage. Sports provides a ready-made environment for teaching. It's just a wonderful opportunity for teaching. It's real life's experience. And those who played sports, they can vouch for that. The first major value of sports should be stressed is courage. And I want to encourage each and every one of you to be encouraged to play sports if you do play. Courage is a quality of mind that enables one to meet difficulties with firmness and resolution. Now that's a tongue twister, isn't it? Courage is a quality of mind that enables one to meet difficulties with firmness and resolution. Now I want to tell you a story. And this story affected me years ago. I remember about this situation, and I had forgotten about it after a period of time, because this is quite a few years ago. This dates back to 1981. Now some say, wow, I wasn't even born in 1981. But I want you to listen to this story and listen to the courage that this man had. This is a touching and memorial event that happened at a diving competition. Okay, this was a national festival, and it was a diving competition. Now, does anybody remember Greg Louganis? No. Okay. Yeah, Greg Louganis. He was a famous sports diver, swimming diver. He had won the event. Okay, he became the top individual in this event. And he was on the stand, at the championship stand of diving competition. And Greg Louganis did not have to share his moment with anyone. He was the champion. He was the winner. And he was standing on the highest platform. Now, there's three tiers. The highest being first, then there's the second and third. And he was number one. Okay, so he was standing on platform number one. Greg Louganis had the moment. He had won the event. But during the award ceremony, he put his arm around the runner-up, who was Bruce Kinsball. You remember Bruce Kinsball? Most of you won't. I remembered him because I'm going to talk to you about Bruce Kinsball. I also want to admire Greg Louganis for what he did, but the emphasis, I want to talk about Bruce Kinsball. He was the runner-up, and he took Bruce Kinsball by the waist. He was on the second stand, brought him up to the first stand. This is Greg Louganis. And he put his arm around his arm, and they raised their arms together to the first level. While standing room only, there was about 5,000 people. Now, that sounds small in today's events, because 5,000 is like a drop in the bucket compared to the attendance and many of the sports events that take place now. But it was the largest ever to see a diving event in the United States. So it was a momentous occasion. And they gave them both a standing ovation. They stood side by side with their hands linked together. Sorry. Linked together, side by side, in a championship form, proving and raised in triumphant that their hands were together, and they both cried. Now, why did Greg Louganis do this? Why did Greg perform such a touching act of emotion and a touching act of kindness? Because he knew that a little more than 9 months before, okay, doctors were not sure that if Bruce Kinsball would even live, that he would possibly die. What happened? October 18th, 1981, a woman driving a van across the highway crossed the dividing line. Now, this was in St. Anne's Arbor, Michigan highway, and slammed head-on into Kimball's automobile. So there was an automobile accident. Kimball was rushed to the emergency room where he was underwent 24 hours of surgery. 24 hours of surgery. To continue, every bone in his face was broken. Every bone in his face. Can you imagine? His skull was fractured. His leg was broken. Ligaments in his knees were torn. I mean, this individual was literally destroyed almost. His liver was lacerated. His spleen had to be removed. He went into the hospital with 140 pounds of weight on his 5'9" frame. And when he came out, he weighed 105. Now this is Bruce Kimball, the second place winner of this diving competition. His leg was in a cast for 12 weeks. His jaw was wired shut for 10 weeks. He ate food through a straw. And Greg Lugones knew this. He knew all about Kim because he was competing against Kim Ball. And that is why he showed that act of encouragement, and that's why also Bruce Kimball showed an act of encouragement. Because it would have been so easy for Bruce to just give up and say, hey, I can't compete anymore. My life is ruined. I'm done for. Look at me. I'm down to 105 pounds. He could have easily given up. But he had the courage. He had the strength to stand up and took his life once again, all over again. And he worked on himself, and he became a champion too. I found that to be a very encouraging example for us in courage. Now we can look at Joshua. Remember Joshua in the Bible? He too was given encouragement and courage by God. God says, be strong and have courage. Remember Joshua? You can read about that in Joshua 1. I'm not going to refer to that right now, but I'll just quote it there. Joshua chapter 1. And throughout the entire chapter, God is encouraging Joshua and say, be strong and have courage. Because he knew he was going to have a strong responsibility of taking Israel into the promised land. So again, courage is one of the valuable lessons we can learn from sports. What's a second one? Another area is endurance. Endurance. Sports with its really real-life environment provides for the development of endurance. And it truly does. Of people, a perseverance of never giving up. And I think that's so important. It's easy to give up. In life, when things seems like it's throwing curveballs at you, and if you can't hit a curveball, you're striking out, it's a lot of frustration. And yet, giving up is so easy thing to do. We can just say, okay, I just can't do it, and give up. And that's the same with life as well as in sports. It's easy to give up, especially when you're behind and when the odds are greatly against you. Some of the greatest upsets in sports are teams that were written off before they even played the game. They said, oh, these guys, we can beat these guys easy. And it even affected one of my favorite teams. A team that was so highly rated, and yet in the end they lost. They lost the championship to a team that was probably inferior to that other team. I won't mention the team. Most of you probably know who it is, but I just found that very interesting. And it was all a matter of giving up. I think the team thought that they were so good that they didn't even have to compete. And when they got behind, like many do, many teams, they start losing and they can get into bad attitudes and give up and not even play the game out sometimes. We all admire and respect persons who continue to hang in there to the end. It's very encouraging to see somebody, even when they're losing. And even if you lose, and I remember a game at YOU, where our team was down by 40 points. 40 points. I said, there's no way these guys are going to win. But you got to admire the fact the kids hung in there and they played to the end. And in the end, yes, they lost the game. It was obvious. We lost, I think, by 45, the final score. And yet, it was very encouraging. It was very encouraging. They endured. They endured that hardship. Despite some of the other opposing players were laughing at him. I remember they would steal the ball and they'd go in for layups, and the next thing you know, okay, now we're up, we're down by 25. Okay, now we're down by 30. Watching the scoreboard, and I was scorekeeping too. So I was on the one side of the page doing all the scoring. My wife was assisting at the time too at the program. But I have to admire those young individuals for the endurance. The Creator God expects us to endure. God expects us to endure. What did He tell us over in Matthew 24? Let's turn there. Matthew 24. I think you know where I'm going. Matthew 24. And let's look at verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. God expects us to endure. And that is one of the values that we can learn through playing sports and watching sports, is endurance. There's so much that we can learn from enduring. It's not easy when you see things around you that are wrong. You go to a work environment and people cheat and they lie and they steal and they get ahead. And you're working hard trying to make a living and they get raised above you. And honesty sometimes is not rewarded. Well, it is in the end. If we endure to the end, we'll be saved, but we'll also be rewarded for our efforts. And so your honesty at work, your honesty in efforts, wherever you do, will be rewarded in the end. And it is hard to endure. It's not an easy task, but God does expect us to endure. And we can learn about enduring even when the odds are against us and we play against teams that just slaughter. No mercy rule, as they say. There is a mercy rule, but it's not enforced. When you're losing by 40 points, it's nice to ease up. And then I remember talking to an individual one time, and he said, you know, there's the golden rule. Do unto others before they do it to you, he said to me. And I just looked at him and said, well, that's a different perspective. Do unto others before they do it to you. That wasn't the golden rule that I learned when I was growing up. But, you know, that's the attitude of some. It's do unto others before they do it to you. And that's what endurance is all about. It doesn't mean it's going to be a smooth road and everything is straight. You know, the straight and narrow. It talks about a straight and narrow road, but that's another road that we have to travel on. But through endurance, we will have roller coaster rides. And I like to compare life to a roller coaster ride. Remember the roller coaster ride? The highs, the lows, the curves, the twists. It's exciting and it's scary. And that's what endurance is all about. We have to endure in life. And we'll have highs and we'll have lows. We'll have curves and scary moments. But endurance is very important. Let's look at 1 Peter. First Peter 1, and again, I talked about endurance, and in 1 Peter 1 and verse 25, it says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. God's word will endure forever, and that is what we hold on to as we're enduring. We have to hold on to the word of God. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. We are very, very fortunate to be able to endure. And we know in the end we will win, even if the odds are against us. What's another lesson we can learn? Patience. Patience is a very, very important lesson. It's a true value to teach sports patience. Because individuals sometimes, when they face obstacles, failures, trials, delays, pain, and you'll find that injuries with pain in sports, it can set you back. I remember my son wanted to play sports, and he got injured. And when he injured his knee, he talked to me about it. And he said, Dad, he said, I have to decide, do I get an operation or not? The doctor told me in 6 weeks I'll be back on the court. I said, no way, Jeremy, no way. 6 months, probably the minimum. He said, but Dad, the doctor said 6 weeks. I said, yeah, the doctor's going to tell you what you want to hear. He's going to try to get you back on the court, and to do that, he's going to do his operation. Well, my son went ahead and had the operation, and he still suffers to this day with his knee. So he was misled information, but he does endure patience because it does limit his sports activities now, and so he's learned a valuable lesson of patience. And it was important for all of us to learn the lesson of patience. Youngsters especially should recognize that this won't blossom into quality players overnight. And for those who play sports with all the emphasis of win-win attitude, there are some that will never go on to professional levels. And yet, the hype, hey, you can make all kinds of money. You know, you can be a millionaire. All you got to do is get into the NFL and play maybe 1 or 2 years, and after that, you're a millionaire. But you know, the odds of making it on the NFL level is so slim, it's almost impossible. And those who do, sometimes they do make it through patience and endurance, and they do work on their skills and develop. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes patience to develop skills and abilities. The lack of the ability and the lack of patience can cause individuals to fail. And it has been. You can just look at many individuals who had ability, okay? They had the ability. They could have played on the professional level, but because of their impatience, their attitudes, their I'm better than you attitude mentality, they failed. Many of them failed, and many of them not even on the professional level anymore. Some of them never even got drafted. I find that very interesting. As I was watching the NFL draft, many individuals will be drafted. There's 3 days of drafting. But there will be many that will be on the sideline waiting to hear their name called and will never be called because of their impatience. How about patience towards officials, referees, and umpires? That's probably one of the biggest flaws that we see in sports. My son should have scored. You kept him from scoring. And the mom runs out on the court, which is a technical. But the officials, you know, a lot of times they're a little lenient. They'll let the mother scream and yell at them and even boo at them. Now, what is this teaching our children? Patience? Respect? Enduring? Courage? No. No, it's sad. I have to say, our nation has gotten so much into sports, they're ruining the sport. They're literally ruining you. Sports can be harmless in some respects, but the problem is the extremeness of it. It's a win-at-all-cost mentality, and that's what is destroying not only professional sports, college sports, high school sports, and now elementary sports. To me, that's amazing. That's amazing. We have to teach respect for authority, the referees and those coaches. Parents have to teach patience with their children, and that's a valuable lesson throughout life, because if they're impatient with sports, imagine how they'll be when they're out in the work field and they become impatient. They can find themselves fired. And it's tough right now. The economy right now is really hard for a lot of people to find work, and if individuals have developed character of impatienceness, they can easily lose their job and they can find themselves unemployed. So not only in sports do we have to learn patience, but in life we have to learn patience. Let's look at Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, and let's look at verse 1. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So we are in a competition, if you want to call it that, for the kingdom of God. We have been given a responsibility, okay, to learn courage, to learn endurance, and to learn patience. It says, run the race with patience. And we have to do that. It's going to be a long run. None of us know when Christ is returning. Will he come back in our lifetime? There's a possibility. But none of us know the day or the hour, it says in the Bible, when Christ will return. We know we have to endure, and we have to be patient, and we have to have courage. It takes courage to take the calling of God and hold on to it with endurance and with patience. And that's what God gave us. He gave us His Word. He gave us the understanding of the purpose for mankind. We have the knowledge of that. And yet we have to continue to patiently wait for the return of Jesus Christ. And we have to endure to the end. We can't go halfway and stop the race. Anyone who's participated in sports and goes halfway, they end up losing. And they end up losing a valuable lesson of patience, endurance, and courage. What's the fourth area? This is one that I'm encouraged by. It's called teamwork. And sports all participates in teamwork, except for individual sports. And yet, in some ways, that also has teamwork because you have coaches teaching and instructing. So, in some ways, that's teamwork as well. But I want to look at the little overall general point. Teamwork in sports is very important, and it's a valuable lesson for all of us to learn. But what about in life? Well, I want to encourage each and every one of you. I want to encourage patience. I want to encourage endurance. And I want to encourage teamwork. Teamwork is so important. We're all on the same team here. We're all striving for the kingdom of God. And it's a wonderful reward in the end. The kingdom of God is what we're all striving for. And we're all going to be part of the team. When Christ returns, He'll establish God's government on earth. And we will be part of the team. And we'll be a winning team because this world needs us. When the establishment of God's government is set up, there's going to be a lot of work to do. And we're all going to have our responsibilities and we're all going to be part of the team. So it's an encouraging part of teamwork. And that is as well as with sports. You can't be I. And I find this very interesting. Some guys think that they're the team. Well, if it wasn't for me, this team wouldn't be anything. And I've heard that from professional sports players. I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to score 24 points every night or our team will lose. They're not a team player. They're an individual player. We have to be team players. We are all on the same team and we're all working together. Sports can be a beautiful or an ugly event. If everybody is thinking of themselves and only me, me, me attitude, it can be ugly. It all depends on the attitude of the players, the coaches, and the spectators, as I mentioned earlier, with mom yelling from the stand. Even mom can participate and be a team player, or she can be an opposing team player. I find it very interesting. To know what is right and what the right attitudes are, we need to look at the Bible. The Bible teaches us, as I mentioned, courage. The Bible teaches endurance. The Bible teaches us patience. And it teaches us teamwork. Let's look at Psalms 102. Psalms 102, this is being part of the team. Psalm 102, verse 27, but you art the same, and the years shall have no end. Now this is in reference to God. So God's always been the same, and the years have no end. In verse 28, and the children of your servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before you. So we're going to be established as part of the team, part of God's team. And when God comes back through Jesus Christ's return and sets up the government, we'll be part of the team. It's a team effort. It's very encouraging for all of us. Now I mentioned about physical sports. And Spokesman's Club, a question came up one time, will there be sports in the kingdom of God? And it was debated and it was tossed around and people thought, that's a good question. Will there be sports in the kingdom of God? Yes, there will be. Remember the example of Jacob, the wrestling match? Now, God wrestled with Jacob. So that's a sporting event. Okay. Now, some say, well, wait a minute. Christ cheated. He cheated. He knocked the hip out of Jacob and made it hard for Jacob to endure. Well, you know, he was testing Jacob to see if he would really endure. And in the end, he hung in there. He endured. He had courage. He had patience. He endured. And he became a team player. So I feel definitely there will be sports in the kingdom of God. But they won't be like they are now. Not with a me-me attitude, and I have to score 24 points a game in order for our team to win. And there will be competitive sports in the kingdom of God. But it will be for fun. It'll be an opportunity of learning character. And of course, as we develop character, courage, patience, endurance, teamwork, these will all be coming forth as we compete. Not the me-me attitude or I'm better than you attitude that unfortunately society now forces upon us. So sports can be beautiful. Sports will be part of the kingdom. Now what sports? We'll let God show and introduce whatever sports he wants to do. I'm sure there'll be some sports we may not even be aware of. I find it interesting. God has humor. And I'm sure he'll have some surprises for us in the future as well. So brethren, sports are important. But how individuals learn the lessons in sports is more important. It's an opportunity of teaching. And in life, we too can learn the values of courage, endurance, patience, and teamwork. These four simple lessons, these four simple values, very simple yet very prestigious, values that we can take into the kingdom of God and use in serving in God's kingdom.